You lie!
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
Now shut up, you tart!
Hey, hold up, guys. I am loading the Joshua Brown versus Malik Yoba audio. I know you're anxious to hear it, but it's downloading. So while it's doing that, I just want to take a moment to say I am sorry. As a network owner, the network owner and producer of the Joshua Brown Show, I apologize that you didn't get shit that you were promised. I am so sorry that the callers were on the lines, questions were submitted, a whole bunch of damn things was done, and we got nothing in exchange for all of that effort, all the effort that was concerted. I didn't get a damn thing from the beginning. I didn't get my talking points. I didn't get drops, photos, no tags on social media, none of that shit. I did, however, get a request to change the photo, I think a day or a few hours prior to the show. And then when they posted it on social media, they tagged the wrong damn show. So that just added insult to injury. And it was just really damn ridiculous. And then he hung up. He hung up during a live broadcast after the judge proceeded to engage him. So not in the best mood right now as I am prepping to introduce this to you. Big shout out to all the small media outlets, those who get treated like shit, especially the black media outlet, because we really do bust our ass, you know, to support projects. No love donations, no cyber hugs, no PayPal donations, no money, no nothing. We do this shit for free because we know that real people die in fake movies, and it's really, really sad when people take advantage of that. All right, guys, it has downloaded, so I hope you enjoy this. Thank you. Again, I'm sorry.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
That you mentioned that, because speaking of social media, you know, recently you reposted the video of Marcus Willoughby and his the trauma that he faced from
being a lover. And everybody missed the point. They missed the point. They talked about, I'm gay, and you faggot, and fuck you, piece of shit. You're an abomination. You're unworthy, you're a disgrace. But I got a lot of love. I got thousands of people who said thank you.
Yeah.
Because my child, my lover, my daughter, my son is in pain. And so we want to vilify each other because we don't understand each other. But if we do this and you make it safe and I say, I love you, I see you, mm-hmm. I feel you, I don't care if you do this, that's you.
Yeah.
You need to do that. Just like black men need to walk in the street and be like, yo, what's up, nigga, what? Because that's his protection.
Yeah.
But if he stands straight and he speaks with perfect English, you're faggot. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And so I've recognized through the vilification and the condemnation that my mission remains the same.
I started this episode with an audio clip, and you said that we missed the point. So again, because I will probably extrapolate certain things and then create smaller sound bites, can you just make it very, very clear what was the point that we missed? And then I just want to ask you specific questions about the language.
The point that we missed is that we're talking about human beings being honored and dignified, and people mm-hmm. want to talk about all kinds of other nonsense. That's the point. And so that's the point that I was making. You said it was hard to communicate what was going on in the studio. What's going on in the studio, if I'm in a room of 100 people, the law of average says that a percentage of those people, I don't know what it is, 30, 50, 20, 15, whatever. A percentage of those people are the folks that like to spread hate, right? We know that in any given room, 100% of the people aren't feeling the same way. And so I was encouraging people to feel a person and not read some words and make an assumption of a person, because people will do that. You know, people do that all day long. people love to gossip and spread untruth and all those things. And so I was leaning into the audience and making sure that they felt me. Because I know that there's no way in hell I could be in your space and, you know, say this person's full of shit. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And also, you said that it was possible due to what went viral, that you would probably have to redesign the definition of heterosexual and possibly the word queer. Do you want to revisit that?
It was an interesting conversation. You know, when you talk to trans men, you know, that is women who or people who were assigned female at birth but never felt that they were female and done what they needed to do to transition. It's a very interesting conversation about masculinity, like what is masculinity? What is heterosexuality? And so I think that we have all these labels that, and black folks in particular, feel quite comfortable attaching to ourselves and staying in a comfortable little box and saying, I'm this, I'm that. Because you can only be two, chocolate or vanilla, that's it. But the world is filled with at least 31 flavors. And so I think that it's an interesting conversation to have with trans men who look at masculinity from a very different perspective. And I think in general, one of the gifts of the transgender community, I think to the community at large, is the opportunity that they have to see the world through two aesthetics. And they get to have a perspective that, you know, the average person could never have. Like, I heard, back to trans men, I heard, you know, there was a question that was asked of five black trans men. And one of them said, you know, like, the question was like, what did you learn? Or what's the biggest surprise since you transitioned to become a black man? And he said that I can't call the cops. Like, that's a perspective, right? For a black woman, she may not necessarily feel that way. But for a black man, 9 times out of 10, we're not calling the cops.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, a few more questions, and then we're going to take a break and bring the judge in. I wanted to ask you, because I think a lot of people, I had conversations via focus groups, and a lot of people were confused about the language, as was mentioned in the first audio. And so we understand heterosexuality as it has been presented to us, but when it relates to someone being trans attracted, it then becomes very blurred. And so I was just wondering, is gay a bad word? Queer a bad word? What is it when people don't want to identify? Is it just they don't care about labels? They don't like how society handles certain things?
I can't speak for people, but I will say this. Nobody likes being called stupid, right? So if you do things, somebody, you're so stupid. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're stupid. Why'd you do that? Right? Everybody has a sense of who they are, whether it's a full sense, whether it's a sense of what someone else has told you who or what you are, but you have a sense of who you are. And so when other people think that it is their job to tell you who you are, that's one of our first mistakes. And so I think the language is a problem when people don't listen to the person who is asking to be referred to as a certain way. So whatever a person prefers to be called, that is what we should call them. Period. Whether we agree with it or not, it is not our place to tell them that, you know, this is who you are. Not with a reason, right? As long as someone's not hurting someone and, you know, misguiding or misleading. But, you know, one of the things I've learned is that we will never have 100% comprehension of any subject. And as for as many people who said that they were confused about the language, there were far more people who said, you know what, thank you so much for clearing up so many questions that I had. So I think sometimes you have to check the person who's saying the thing to you. There's a reason everybody doesn't get into Yale. I'm at the Congressional Black Caucus, and I'm between sessions. So it's 4:30 now, and I really have to boogie. So what are we doing?
Yeah, I was told something different. I thought I was going to have more time with you, which is why I took
a different
direction.
Schedule
and
changed.
Then we also started late. So, I was just kind of thrown off. So everything was kind of rushed. So I apologize for that. I will just add in the rap because I definitely want people to hear that because you've already addressed a lot of things and I asked you the questions I wanted to. The only thing I didn't want that I didn't ask that I would like for you to just address real quick because I thought it was an injustice what the fraternity did. If you could say something to them, what would that be? And then I'm going to open up the judge mic ASAP.
Well, I already said the fraternity did not, the president of the fraternity, Michael Crystal, and his leadership did not keep their word and communicate with me privately about whatever decisions we collectively were supposed to make. And so they decided that they would, you know, announce or someone leaked or however it got into News One and distributed that I was removed from the position of being the national spokesperson for the mentorship program. And what I was asking the brothers to do, I said, we live in America where we are presumed innocent until proven guilty. There will never, ever be a guilty charge related to any allegation made about me because it's simply not true. That's just pure fact. It was an opportunity for someone to target the first public heterosexual male with a profile that says he's going to stand up for a community that has, you know, is often traumatized. And so hurt people hurt people. And so someone screamed out for attention and they got it. And it came at my expense. And back to your question earlier about what have I learned, I've learned through this experience, that part specifically, is that I've experienced the persecution and vilification I've experienced is a pittance. It's paying a pittance compared to what an actual transgender person has to deal with every single day of their life, being afraid for their safety, because that's a lot of what this is about for me, too. A lot of young people are murdered. Two were murdered last weekend, B-Love, and I can't think of the other one's name, but the young lady of 17 years old and hogtied and shot in the head and burnt. No one's talking about that. People aren't talking about that. That was someone's child. So I've learned how callous we could be and that whatever persecution I get pales in comparison, but I'm going to still stand with my brothers and sisters because I'm also empowered through this process.
Got you. And there have been some recent updates regarding the workshop, Love and Trauma, the Trans Experience with you and Carmen Carrera. Can you go on and at this time give us any updates?
You can go to lovetrauma.net, lovetrauma.net, and you can sign up, RSVP through your email. We'll be sending out notifications on the exact location, but it will be September 27th in advance of the Trans March, Trans Visibility March on DC, which is happening on the 28th. Our workshop will be happening the day before in D.C.
All right. And congratulations. I really applaud you, and thank you for being the alchemist that you are. And big shout-out to your dad, who you said was really a true inspiration for you. 323-646, welcome Judge Brown to the show. 323-646, your mic is live.
Well, hello, good evening, good afternoon.
Hello, Judge.
Good afternoon,
Bert,
sir.
You're getting out of here just in time because I've been getting all these inputs from Twitter. People are calling in, and there's some questions they wanted responded to, but I guess you can't do that. But in synthesis, they're saying, considering the destruction of the family, particularly the black family, how can we be interested in a group that has chosen their own misfortune? So
I don't
there
think
are a lot of questions to be asked, and the other one goes basically to if black people have suffered all that they have suffered, how can they afford in good conscience to be paying attention to a group that's destroying their family structure? So
Well, Asian. You know, it's black people.
And
it's black people. It's,
how
it's
can
black
they?
People. Black folk, white folk, Asian folk, human folk give birth to folk that come out with all kinds of realities that they did not choose. A child who was born, you know, with Down syndrome, a child that is born with six fingers, a child that is born with vitiligo, a child that is born to grow to be 7 feet, did not choose that. But once we are here, we all have to make a decision on how we are going to treat the human beings that we fight to bring forth in this world. And so the things that destroy the black family, whether it's, you know, fatherlessness, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's poverty, whether it's abuse, all of those things contribute. The fact that a person is giving birth to a child that feels in their heart, this is who I am. When I was 13 years old, I gave my teachers my autograph. I said, I know that I'm going to be famous, and I know that I'm going to make a lot of money because I want to contribute to the world and make a difference. I knew that as a kid. No one had to teach me that. No one had to tell me that, and no one can talk me out of it. So,
well,
for the people that I know, for the people that I know, not the ones that I make assumptions about, but the people that I sit with and I listen to and I hear their story, whether it's Asia, whether it's Africa, whether it's the Middle East, wherever I've been, and I've sit with my friends over the last three decades for sure, and gathering the stories of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, the person who chooses to live their true self are people that I respect. It's those of us that choose to live conservatively by the rules and guidelines of other people who tell you this is right for you. Those are the people I have a harder time respecting. But a person who can sit in their individualism, like Michael Jordan, sat with what he knew was true. When his coach told him he wasn't good enough, he's like, okay, I'm going to show you what's inside of me, and I'm going to bring that out, and I'm going to be a champion. And there are people who are marginalized in this country and in this world who are being murdered every single day because the rest of the world doesn't understand who they are. Well, I understand who they are. And part of my job is to help those that don't understand see themselves. Because as I spoke to a minute ago, I was with an army captain last night who has a command, an army officer with a command of 900 people. I did not know he was a trans man. We talked about his work at the Pentagon and his 20 years of service. That sounded like every other person I've ever known that has served in the military. Only at the end did he reveal that he indeed is a trans man. You cannot tell me that that person is destroying a family. You cannot tell me that that person is unworthy. And so as a people, because we all have that uncle that's molesting the little kid in the family, or the alcoholic, or the son that's a drug dealer. We all have those people. But we don't talk about how that's destroying our family. We aren't putting the same kind of venom toward gangs that are killing each other. So until we're willing to do that, I can't have conversations that go in circles around telling someone else that they are wrong for their choice for their life.
Okay, let's say this. When you have to deal with a family, there's some obligations and things that you have to do whether you like them or not. So what you're doing is asking black people to say these people who do what they like to do rather than rigorously adhering to what they should or ought do is more important than our circumstances. And this very attitude, this laissez-faire thing about the rules, what is expected of you, duty, honor, obligation, are the very things that are tearing down our communities and our families. So it gets down to this. they are not the only ones that have suffered. It's self. I can remember several high school teachers that were determined to help colored people, colored students, be happier in life by ensuring that they got to work with their hands rather than pursuing an academic career. That's just being part of a life. Lions, tigers, grizzly bears, stuff we used to like us for a nice dinner snack or a lunch. So, I mean, humans have always faced adversity. But the main thing out there that is really sticking in people's craws is thanks to hashtag Me Too, boys and girls can't interact like they used to because everybody's too nervous, but we're bombarded by this homosexual advocacy day in, day out, 365, 24/7.
And that's actually not true.
What you're talking about, sir, sounds suspiciously, well, it is homosexual activity. Because you're talking tranny, if it's got a penis and you're having sex with it, that's homosexuality.
That's not what we're talking about. No. You're doing the same thing, my friend, are doing this. I just told you about a commanding officer in the Army. I just told you about a commanding officer.
And what you're trying to do is you're pushing your own position.
Are you going to tell me what I'm doing? You did not. You heard me through the lens of what your own experience is.
Well, that's all we can do.
I'm a man who has never dated a transgender woman.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are required to filter the evidence through your own observations and experiences in life. That's a charge to a jury. And that's what happens when somebody determines whether someone lives or dies on a capital murder,
Okay.
That is the way human beings determine anything. And based on my observations and experiences in life, sir, I heard what I heard. Now, you're entitled to that. But why should we switch over to supporting your position? That's the crux of the matter.
So many would say
we don't need to.
But see, here's the thing. I've never dated a transgender woman. Okay? I haven't had a relationship. So people have made assumptions about me pushing an agenda through the lens of their experience. I'm saying there are people dying at the hands of black men who are in love with these women more often than not. And through the shame that you're referring to, because of the conservative nature of our...
Wait, hello? Did something happen?
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
248-867, is your mic still live? 248-867? All right, guys, let's just cut to commercial break and then open the lines up for conversation. Here we go. I'm going to actually play the rap. Hopefully this answers a few questions because I just think people are just really angry. Here we go.
How quickly people love to spread news with no proof for child abuse. You confused. I see you. You choose to try to make me lose, but I can't. If you try to stand in my shoes, you would lose. You can't win when you live in sin. When you got to begin where it begins again. In the beginning, I told you there was the word, and the word said we will love, and we will love each other. No matter what, you my sister, my brother, whether you be a trans man or a trans woman, I do not know. If you do not understand, yes, this is a freestyle. I'm feeling kind of wild off the top of my dome in somebody else's home. Leave me alone with your words and your comments and the shit you don't throw upon the dome as I think about it daily. Made me move deeper and deeper into my warrior spirit. Here I come. You're going to see it and you're going to hear it. You're going to fear it if you don't understand it. Lean into it so you understand it. See, because all of this is just the way God planned it. You the one that's confused. You the one that's going to lose. How you like that? That was a little freestyle. You know, a lot of nonsense is floating around town the last few days. I'm like, what am I going to say about all this? I'm not going to defend myself. I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to lean into my creativity.
I'm going to lean into the purpose. And the purpose is the service. That's all it's about. Love. September 27th. Love and Trauma Workshop, hosted by yours truly and Ms. Carmen Carrera. And on the 28th of September, the Trans March on DC. That's the only reason I posted the video in the first place, was to draw attention to an important subject. The visibility of all people is important.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
We're back. My God.
Okay, my take on this.
Friday the 13th.
Our guest copped out, and he pulled that old trick of my phone went dead in the midst of things heating up, and I don't think he wanted me to talk with him. See, he gave us a propaganda splurge, and he's entitled to think what he wants. He's entitled to do what he wants, but it's not something the rest of us should have crammed down our throats. He is appealing to a select audience, the choir that he is dealing with, and he is on their behalf pushing homosexuality, because even if he doesn't practice it himself, he's advocating for trannies. Trannies were set forth 50 years ago is a device that what is now known as the LGBT community might use with profit to insinuate itself into the general population and cause general havoc. That is what you see so much, ranging from Michael Jackson to his androgynous, self-hating self, anti-black mindset trying to be white. You saw that. Everybody loves Michael Jackson, and you can't get on a damn elevator in America or sit in a restaurant without listening to that. You have this thing where you've got people who want to tell you about fluid gender, and yet you've got failed boys who don't make it as athletes, declaring they're girls and going out and beating the pants off of women who are qualified and fit to run in a women's track meet or participate in a women's wrestling match, but who are always going to get beat in the running events and are in danger of suffering serious bodily injury or death in the full contact sports because they are women and they have women's bodies. And you've got these boys with boy bodies who hate what they are. They hate what they are and they hate what they want to be. And it is very bad for the general public to get these people who are so deep into self-hate to disseminate that hatred. Now, black people 50 years ago were deep into self-hate because we got bombarded with white propaganda. Everything was blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and blondes have more fun. And everything we saw on TV was white if it wasn't in a derogatory fashion. So what did we do? We got black and proud. And what we're getting now is I'm ashamed. I don't like what I am. I hate what I am. I hate what I want to be. And that is just disseminated throughout the entire body politic, and they don't love themselves. You go to you look at a gay pride parade or one passes you by when you're trying to get someplace, and you see all of these caricatures that they put on that are just self-depreciating and insulting. The other thing you touched on it, Valerie, and by the way, I tuned in at exactly 3 o'clock my time, 4 your time, and you started playing that tape at 3:01 my time by my phone, and you started on time. But see, it's like you walk into a room.
No, actually, you heard a commercial. I had to play a commercial because they were 10 minutes late, and then also I started receiving text messages saying we've only got 15
okay.
minutes. Now, I've been
well,
in the entertainment industry my whole life, but what I'm saying is when we're live, be fucking on time because we are live, and I didn't have content to put in the middle of that. Then also, too, I get text messages saying, oh, are we going to be talking to the judge? When I am sitting here, I know your point. Obviously, the show hadn't been vetted because they don't understand your position. And I was sitting over here trying to support from a certain degree because I'm a huge-ass Malik Yoba, the actor fan, right?
And I love the things that he's saying. And, again, I try to set the tone a certain way, but no, couldn't do that because in the background I'm getting text messages, where's the judge, where's the judge, when I know what your position is. So I try to,
well, I'm not
to give him
you.
An opportunity to say some shit, and then instead it's like, oh, my goodness, don't fucking treat me like I'm the little person when I'm over here running motherfucking multi, you know, I'm doing businesses and running networks and shit. This is the problem I have with, this is why I respect Cardi B so much, because all this press and how people look down at people because they think their shit is small. I feel just like him, who's a damn big-ass real estate developer, but when people put you in a damn box, they treat you a certain way. So, yeah, I have an attitude, goddammit. I do right now because we shouldn't have started at 3:15 your time, 4:15 my time, and then be told we ain't got but 15 minutes. And I sat here and busted my ass all fucking week putting this shit together, thinking I had time to ask constructive questions to get this shit over with.
Well, see, let me say this. Nobody's faulting you. And quite frankly, dear, if you hadn't brought it up, nobody would have realized anything started late. You covered yourself gracefully. Now, what happened, let me translate from being very worldly wise. Somebody came on to propagandize something. They had their motive and their agenda, and you got taken advantage of. You acted in good faith, and that person had no intention of submitting himself to any close examination on his position. And that's exactly what happened. That thing about the phone going off, that's an old-time dodge we used to have. If it gets difficult on a phone interview, they used to tell me that when I first started my show 20 years ago. If you're on a phone interview and it gets difficult, just act like something happened, you got cut off, or your phone went dead. See, that's what got run on there. He just didn't want to put out to give and take. But you see, it's like this kind of thing that you were dealing with is this. You've got a polite meeting and everybody's in suits and ties and business attire, and somebody walks in with a T-shirt on saying, I like to do it doggy style. So everybody in the room is looking around and saying, what in the devil is that? Who, what fool walks in and saying, I like to do it doggy style? See, when you deal with somebody that's doing his kind of thing, it's like he's got on a T-shirt and everybody else is trying to do something else. Like you mentioned it. You're sick and tired of listening to people talk about sexuality all of the time. Let's get off of it. But they walk into the room with that T-shirt on, guess how I do it, and then they've got a description they want you to know, and everybody else is trying to go deal with the realities that they're there to deal with, and this T-shirt just glares. See, so it's not your fault. We just got typically work. They're going through classes and how to do this. See, you were earnest about what you're doing, but they're not honest with us. See, what does that make you if you are advocating and you are a parent and you are advocating something that works out to pedophilia? He talks about he got enticed by out of his own mouth by a tranny when he was 16 years old. He's got an accusation, which is a judge. I have to say he's innocent until he's proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of where a tranny sex worker says, it dealt with him when it was 13 and again at 15, but he's not the only one. Now, I'll take that with a grain of salt. But you see, that's one of the risks that comes out of that. That's being used to push something that everybody agrees is poisonous, pedophilia. We don't want our children getting jacked around. But you see, we have a situation now where you're a young man and you're a young woman, you can't deal with each other because there's some kind of monster in the room that's making everything messed up. Boys and girls can't
gotcha.
Be boys and girls 101A anymore because of
right.
this. But yet they get to throw this at us all day long, all the time, yada, 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 about this kind of stuff. You get in third grade classes in some states now. And they're going to teach us class. We have to deal with the contribution of homosexuals to America. Teacher, what's homosexual? Well, that's people of the same sex who have sex together. Teacher, what's sex?
And then we can't even teach them about regular sex when they're in the third grade. But here you are interjecting that. And then they try to do it with an end run. Well, it's not sexual. It's like BFF, best friends forever. They can kiss, hold hands, hug, caress, and make each other feel good. So you see little nine-year-old boys walking down holding hands and kissing each other in the mouth. Why are you doing that? Because they said it was okay in school. That's recruitment. But they're supposed to be accepted because they're born that way. That's nonsense. And he even threw that nonsense out there. They're born this way. You know, like people are born blind, but we don't put our eyes out so we can commensurate with them. We accommodate them, but they can't take over the whole damn world so nobody else can do what they can't do. You see, but that is the thing that we get thrown at us. That was just rude. That was propagandistic. And these laggards over here in the Black Caucus in D.C. ain't doing a damn thing anyway except plotting on pushing what he's trying to push and used us for. Now, I've got so many text and personal messages, what do they call it, direct messages through Twitter, it is pathetic. They don't like this. I mean, there's one or two out of every 20 or so that support him. He's right to do. Well, he's got a right to do whatever the hell he wants to do. It's America and has the First Amendment. But people are concerned about the families. And as you heard him say, what does this have to do with the family? Now, I've had one, two, three, four, five black actors who have at least as much stature as him calling him all kinds of bad things that I am not going to repeat. So, I mean, it's not like this is universal. I went through that nonsense in Hollywood about them trying to get me to support that. And I just said, I quit. Screw your last contract. I'm not signing it because I won't sign off on this other stuff. See, it's about choices.
Right.
John Wick's three movies, they keep talking about consequences. Everything you do has consequences. And what this is it's corrupting our youth. It is making them confused. They don't know what the hell to do. Boys don't know how to talk to girls anymore. There are no fathers in the home. There is all kinds of poison that is spread out there. And, you know, we got one tranny in the military, and our last president, number 44, pushed that. Number 45 is accident. So, I mean, you know, what's that supposed to make a difference for? That's like we're all supposed to guide ourselves by this? And then there's rudeness.
Right.
You come on, for God's sake, at least do people the courtesy of defending your position. You know, this is nothing but outright a propaganda effort, which I suspected in the first damn place because he's what you call chicken shit. See, that kind of played black. He's 51 years old, and he's jumping up trying to act like he's a 22-year-old rapper. And then he throws that 20-year-old tranny rapper that got done in. You know, I'm not moved because somebody died. I've been invited to 9 or 10 funerals this month alone, and we haven't even gotten to the middle of the damn month about somebody's family, young family member, met their demise way before they were supposed to because of foolishness out there. And see, that kind of thing is something to take into consideration. So I'm not concerned about any particular group. I'm concerned about the whole thing. And as far as people dying, I've signed orders setting somebody's execution date. So that doesn't fail.
Right. Gotcha.
But we have a problem we
got
to deal with. And, like, remember Big Meech when he came on? That was burlesque. That was so crazy. But he stood his ground, and he went for 2 hours back and forth defending pro and con what he was doing. And this guy punks out, and he clicks his phone to come off. And he didn't even call back in, so you know it's a fake. So, I mean, that was just That speaks to what he was about. Just coming in here trying to run game, and that was what it was about. I feel upset for you on that one.
Thank you.
Anyway,
I appreciate
let me
that.
Stop before I say something really ugly about that.
I appreciate that. 215-356-215-356. Your mic is live. 215-356. Your mic is live.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself.
Bishop Gerald Scott.
Hi, Bishop. How are you?
Okay, how you doing? You and Judge Brown both.
I'm blessed.
How are you, sir?
Yes, thank you so much.
Good, good
and after you, I'm going to 612 and 678.
Okay, I just want to just make comment. I'm concerned about how this thing all came about and how it ended up being in terms of how it concluded. It certainly was a bad situation. Anytime that you propose anything, you should be open to criticism and analysis of what you're saying. And I think that it was a poor guest. I've not allowed one of the primary guests, Judge Brown, at least to inquire and to be indifference to what he's saying. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're so strong in your beliefs, you should be able to combat any criticism, respond to anyone's contrary opinion. You should be strong enough in what you believe and what you stand for to stand against anybody's opposite opinion. So I think by his all of a sudden disappearing, all of a sudden being disconnected and all of that, I think it speaks volumes as to who he is as an individual. Another point that I'm through, it's interesting how we stand for so many things as African Americans, so many other issues that impact other communities, and we don't show that same zeal, that same commitment, that same dedication to things that directly impact our lives. I hear people talking about all these, you know, fringe groups and all of that, and yes, I'm one that don't believe in any kind of violence. I believe every citizen should be treated justly and fairly. I believe in that. But you don't hear anyone, particular folk in Hollywood, they don't stand for things like they should stand for things. As a disabled black African-American citizen of this country, ADOS, it just intrigues me how they get righteously indignant about defending the causes of others, but they don't really defend some of the causes of the most disenfranchised people in this country over the centuries. The persons that are the most disenfranchised, and in my opinion, they are African Americans and people with challenged abilities, what we call disabled folk. Those are the two most disenfranchised and continue to be the most disenfranchised people in this country. So if you do want to align yourself with other groups, that's your prerogative, that's your business, but you should also be just as zealous, just as committed, just as dedicated, just as boisterous, just as bold in defending and standing for the things that directly impact the daily lives of African Americans and, may I add, persons with disabilities.
Thank you so much, Bishop Scott. Judge, do you have anything to say before I open up 612-545 UNIX?
Okay, sir, I appreciate what you just said, but you know what always sticks in my craw? When they defend somebody's sick choices like they are an actual disability. You know, people have problems, but they don't have to sit there and wave a flag around, guess what my problem is, and guess what, I have fun doing it, and oh, I'm too big a punk to defend myself, so everybody's got to defend me, you know, even though I don't have to go advertise to everybody that I do this or get somebody all hard up, you know, at a nightclub and then get on with it, and I should be protected from my deception, you know. Or in California in the third grade, they got one little animated thing that says, my big brother likes to dance. My big brother likes to go to clubs and dance. My big brother likes to dress up as a girl and go to clubs and dance. My big brother has fun. He likes to fool boys into thinking he's a girl. That's fun. Enjoy yourself. That's going to get somebody killed. And see, that's their choice for doing that, and they are not handicapped like those people who actually have accidents. And then he wanted to compare this to autism. That is awful. I know some autistic people or people who have autistic children and what they go through. That is not anywhere the same thing, and it's an insult to every one of them that somebody would construe the words to say that. Anyway, enough.
Right.
Thank
and
you.
Bishop Scott, I'm going to leave your mic open just in case you'd like to say anything, because I'm going to open up a few more mics. Guys,
yeah,
we are down
you.
To
thank
the last
you,
40 minutes.
Thank you.
So, yeah, just thank you. Cognizant of time, 612-545-6125-45. Please introduce yourself. Your mic is live.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. My name is David. JoJo Brown, thank you for taking my call as well. Nice to hear you.
I'm sorry, sir. We can barely hear you. Are you traveling?
Okay. How about, is it better now? Is it still?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. No, I was going to say thank you for taking my call. Good afternoon to both of you.
Oh, welcome.
Yes, ma'am. My name is David Johnson, and I wanted to just point out when you talk about the propaganda of the LGBT movement, they've actually convinced large portions of America now that homosexuality is something you're born with. But in reality, it's not a genetic issue, it's a mental illness. And if those who want to look into it, if you go back to the mid-1970s, the American Psychiatric Association classified homosexuality and transgenderism as mental illnesses under the category of paraphilia. For those who don't know what paraphilia is means abnormal attractions. And there are people out there who are sexually attracted to even random objects like fences, balloons, animals. All these people who have these type of attractions are under the category of paraphilia. And as of the 70s, homosexuals were in the same category. Now, what the LGBT did was they essentially sent activists to protest a lot of conferences and meetings that the APA was having. And so the APA caved in, and due to political pressure, they no longer classified it as a mental illness. Since then, the LGBT movement has been pushing this propaganda that people are born gay, which is an absolute lie. No one is born gay. There's never been evidence to show any genetic, you know, examples of people being having a homosexual gene, as we see done in the Human Genome Project, where they broke down the entire human chromosome and they couldn't find it. And so these people are pushing these lies, and people are buying into it because if people found out that this is something you're not born with, people are less likely to accept it, which is what their agenda is all trying to do. And the last point I'll make is, as we speak, the pedophiles are already starting a similar movement to the LGBT, and they've already set down the groundwork. At the TEDx convention, which is a convention where they have people present new ideas, they had a speaker there talking about how pedophilia is something people are born with and how we need to be more understanding as a people and learn to accept them. They've even made their own flag, just like the LGBT with their rainbow flag. The pedophiles have their flag now, which is blue, light blue, and light pink. You can look this all up. They are now actively marching in gay pride parades, and they are already setting the groundwork for their movement. So in the next couple of years, you're going to start seeing that. So people need to be aware of what's going on and understand the games that are being played in society. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I agree with what you're
that.
Saying, because that's what I was
Thank
saying.
You
the
for
agenda
that.
Is real,
I've read that
and we
too.
Need to address it.
You said it well, sir. Thank you for that. That was good 411.
Right. I agree. All right, so one more mic. 678-467, 678-467, your mic is live.
Hey, what's going on? My name's Clinton. I'm from Virginia. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Clinton.
Hey, I appreciate the show. I know you were frustrated a little earlier, but I kind of want to let you know that there's different things from the interview that you can be proud about, because what I noticed from watching his interview on Breakfast Club, I kind of got a sense from his personality and just how he conveys his message that he's a genuine, an open-minded person, somebody that may possibly have good intentions. But the way that he conducted himself on this interview, it just blatantly exposed that he had ulterior motives. So I think that even though you didn't get the interview that you wanted, you were still able to accomplish exposing his character, which I think is even more impressive, in my opinion.
Wow. Well, thank you. My goal was, again, to say that, you know, I support the effort, but
mm-hmm.
I don't
I
like that certain things are sensationalized. You know what I mean?
I
so
agree.
I was trying to shift the energy and focus on the fact that these people are not mutants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's shift the energy. They're not fetishes. They're real people. So I wanted to take the energy from that and focus on the fact that he talked about humanity and love. But I didn't get an opportunity to do that. And I just feel like I was robbed. And this isn't me, you know, taking it personal. I'm just saying, like, I was trying to do something authentic.
Yeah, and you exposed some of this, the deception in doing it. And I think you were very, very, you were very open-minded and really unbiased with the way that you communicated with them. And it started off great. And soon as the judge started asking a real critical, straightforward question, he didn't answer the questions. I'm like, okay, that was a pretty straightforward question. Why aren't you answering it? And then it's like that he's trying to mask or push the agenda with including love and humanism. And we need to focus on it being something a part of humanity, but not getting to the very specific issues that it that like the judge was addressing.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
That's
Thank
very
you.
Perceptive.
Let me say this.
Remember, you're talking to an actor, not me, him. I didn't act. I was just doing my thing. But here's the, you have to keep this in mind. Actors have made a lifetime career of fantasy. They make the unreal look real. So they are very adroit about displaying emotions, about convincing someone of sincerity, of putting you into the trance of this is the real thing I'm looking at rather than it being fictional. So that's what you were getting.
Yeah, and
now,
I think that
you saw.
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say you saw it.
Yeah, firsthand. And I think that's something that you don't turn on when you're watching an interview of an actor. You're not thinking that they're acting at that moment. You know, and so
they
someone's
do.
Putting on a role that they're genuine and what I think is super interesting as far as him playing this position in the LGBTQ community is that he has a masculine disposition similar to Terry Crews. Like for Terry Crews to allow the guy to grope him and him not to respond how a man would naturally respond, it puts a big black eye on the black male in the community because you're standing out in the front line representing or you're what people see as a representation as how a black man will respond, and there's not a lot of masculine black men in the media. So for him to take that position is very it's kind of disturbing. It's kind of disturbing.
It is.
Right.
It's kind of
right.
disturbing.
And Judge, I just want to make 2 points because I want to play an audio because I definitely wanted to get your take on this on Antonio Brown's case. And also, I don't want to open up too many more mics because now we're getting feedback and some background noise. So, yeah, guys, just mute your mic. If you know that you're moving around or if you're listening to us via another, I don't know, radio or phone.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Or visit MissValerieDeniseJones.com for details. Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to subscribe to our channels.